Made to win. How about this? How many like to win? Yes. I think all of us would say, I like to win. Amen? And today I want to be in it to win it. That is for sure. I like to win. You like to win. I don't know of anyone who would just say, you know, I just like to lose. All right? I mean, that's a little strange, isn't it? Man, I'm doing this and I want to lose. I don't know of anyone who, you know, opens a savings account or puts money into investments in hopes to lose money. Well, I'm going to invest in this fund and I sure hope I lose this $10,000. Right? No, you want to gain more. You want to win. You want to be able to retire by the time you're 97, right? That's for sure. We don't play sports or games and not want to win. Now listen, I know. We say it's all about having fun together, but we don't keep score in hopes to lose. Right? Is that true? We're not going to keep score hoping that we lose. And don't you just love to find the hidden side of some people? You know, in life, normally in life, they're just cool, calm, and collected. They could be sitting in a tornado, could tear the house down around them. Just cool, calm, and collected. Some might even describe them as kind, sweet as honey. But when they sit down to play a board game, it's like the unleashing of a vicious pack of wolves, man. And they are in it for blood, aren't they? They don't care that you only have $1 left in Monopoly. You land on their property, you are done. Right? Or whatever your favorite game. Anybody know anyone like that? Anybody point to them if they're... No, don't do that. You don't want to get yourselves in trouble, especially if you have to go home with that person, right? That's for sure. Now, we like to win. And that can be a good thing if you're a good sport and have a good attitude and a right and humble spirit about it. That's for sure. How about this? Did you know that we serve a God who always wins? He has a 100% winning track record. That's the kind of God I want to follow and serve, isn't it? So we have a God who always wins. He's never lost a battle. Have you read the end of the book? All right. He wins, doesn't he? And wins that ultimate and final battle. And if you've not read the end of the book, by the end of the year in December, since we are all, say that word with me, the word all, reading through Scripture together this year, by the end of the year, you will have read the end of the book, and you will discover, if you haven't discovered already, he wins. God always wins. Did you know that? Another question for you. Did you know that he wants you to win? God wants you to win. He wants you to win in life. That's why he came, that we might have life and have it abundantly. And he wants you to win in eternity. That is for sure. Well, it's the beginning of a good year. Happy New Year. I think this is the last day we can officially say Happy New Year, right? But I didn't preach last Sunday. Pastor Ricky brought a great word from the Lord to us, so I just wanted to say it one last time, Happy New Year. And at the beginning of this year, I wanted to highlight again, really what is our theme scripture here at Silver Spring Assembly, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. And in the NIV, the translation fleshes out the way you see it on the screen. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. We like prizes, don't we? I know downstairs in the boys' ministry, every time it's prize night, it's a big night when they win prizes. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Late for church, I presume. All right. For which God has called me heavenward In Christ Jesus. And once again, that's our key verse here at Silver Spring Assembly. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that every one of us today when we leave here would be filled with your Spirit and strengthened to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which you have called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. May it be so. Amen and amen. Now, this is Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. And in the larger context of our text here, in Philippians, and Philippians chapter 3 included, or Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul gives us a warning here. He gives us a warning about the opponents of the gospel. He even goes so far as to call them dogs. Not in a good way. And evildoers. Well, those are strong terms, aren't they? He calls them dogs. He calls them evildoers. Now, of course, there's the obvious opponents of the gospel, and sometimes that's within, and those that have no interest in God. But the irony here is that Paul is referring to those who make a claim to be righteous. And they make a claim to be religious. But yet in warning, he does not lose sight of the overall theme of joy in Philippians. In fact, he starts Philippians chapter 3, once again, it's in Philippians several times, but with the reminder, rejoice in the Lord. And then Paul does something interesting in the first half of chapter 3. He begins renouncing everything. You know, he makes mention, he has a pedigree that's quite impressive. He has a resume that anyone would be impressed with in his day. You know, maybe the equivalent of a Harvard degree, president and CEO of a company, leader of an organization, this. He studied under the best and with the best and has all of these credentials, but he renounces them all. And in the process, he also renounces his spiritual and his ethnic privileges. You see, the Gentiles were just considered, you know, by the Jewish people, unclean, impure. But he renounces his credentials, he renounces all of his spiritual and ethnic privileges, and then he does it for this one goal that he has. To know Christ. Amen. That's it. Let's throw all this other stuff away, all of the credentials, all of the things that bring accolades from others. Let's throw that in the garbage. He considers it rubbish. And he says, this is it. I'm going after one thing. I have one goal in life at this point in my life. It's to know Christ. That's it. Another reason that it's good, and I'm glad that as a congregation and as the body and the family of Christ, that together we're reading through Scripture this year. Why? What's going to happen by the end of the year? You're going to know Christ more in a few months from now than you do right now, because He reveals Himself in His Word, doesn't He? And then in verse 12, Paul starts to talk about his progress in the gospel through Christ. In other words, I'm making progress in the gospel, and it's through the one that I have a goal and getting to know. It's through Christ. So in essence, Paul becomes a model for us. He becomes a model for us that in order to advance in Christian living, you have to keep reaching ahead. Keep reaching ahead to grow in Christ. Keep reaching ahead to expand the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of people come out of whatever horrible life background, come to Christ. Woo! Life's great. It's all new. They're on fire. They're ready to take on the world and win and tell everybody else around them about Jesus and how they need Jesus. And they progress in their discipleship and growing closer. But then it seems like they hit a wall or they exit off. And the flame flickers, and the passion cools, and the fire dies out, right? Paul says you can't do it. You've got to keep reaching Never stop reaching. And no matter how far you've gone, no matter how high you've reached before, you got to keep going. We're going to talk more about that through the course of God's word to us today. Let me ask you, are you reaching and striving to expand God's kingdom, God's ways in your heart? I got to keep reaching for God in my heart. Why? Well, Jeremiah warns us. Because above all else, the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can understand it? So I got to keep reaching in my heart for the kingdom of God, to know Christ more. How about this? Do you keep reaching in your mind, in your thoughts, in your thinking, in your attitude for more of Christ? To expand the kingdom of God, the ways of God, in the way you think, in your mind. How about this? Do you keep reaching for and striving to expand God's kingdom in the strength of your life? I'm realizing more and more every day, I need God's strength. I need His Spirit. I need that to expand in my life. I was in a meeting recently where someone talked about, I think they were close to T.L. Lowry. Anyone here ever heard of T.L. Lowry? Kind of a big name in the Church of God many years ago. And T.L. Lowry took an interest in this gentleman and had close relationship with him, was a part of his discipleship. And one day this guy asked him, do you have to have the Spirit of God to go to heaven? And T.L. Lowry's response to him, son, you need the Spirit of God to go to the 7-Eleven, right? And I wish I would have understood that more 30 years ago. I get it a little more today. We need God's strength. I need to strive after God, and so He can expand His kingdom, His ways in my heart, in my mind, in my strength, in my life. Is God's kingdom, is God's ways, is God's thinking expanding in your family? In your workplace? Is He expanding in your life? Listen to me today, beloved. I guarantee you the enemy is working overtime to expand his ways in your life. The enemy is working overtime to get you to give in to a temptation. The enemy is working overtime to deceive you, to get you to veer off the course that has you on a trajectory of following Christ. I guarantee you he doesn't take a break. He never ends. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He never stops seeking to devour you. He is working overtime to expand his ways in your life, in your thinking, in your heart, in your faith, in your attitude, in your spirit. So why on earth would you ever stop pressing on toward the goal that he has set for us? Now, a couple of verses before our key verse in chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. So I'm not there yet. That's what he's saying, right? But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, Paul here is stressing that he's not already perfect, right? Now, that's something I can identify with, right? Not already perfect. My wife said, amen, now you're preaching truth, brother. Right? Not perfect. And Paul is identifying, listen, I'm striving, but I'm not there yet. I'm going toward perfection, but I'm not yet perfect. So I got to keep pressing. And I understand this. And basically, Paul is saying, just like us, he was still involved in the struggles of life in a fallen world. Right? And we can certainly identify with that. The ESV, I like the way the ESV puts this verse or fleshes out this translation. But I press on to make it my own. That's the I lay hold of. To make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's the for which he has laid hold of me in the NIV. Now the word press in these verses indicates that effort has to be put forth You can't press much just hanging out. Right? All right, Lord, here I am. Make it a good day for me. Right? Isn't that often how we think about our days? We think we can, you know, shoot up a drive-by prayer to God and everything will be okay. Now, Paul understands you can't do that. So the word press indicates effort has to be put forth. Why? Because resistance is coming back. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and to devour you. So we know resistance is coming back. So if you are going to advance in your walk with God, your pressing forward has to be greater than the resistance back. Now, beginning of verse 12 here starts with the word but. But here is a transitional word, isn't it? And yes, I know, just like Paul had to deal with the dogs, the evildoers, there are the naysayers and the opposition from the outside and personal struggles from the inside. But he says, but I know all that. I got it because I experience it too. But I press on to lay hold of Christ who has laid hold of me. You see, it's a joint effort. Christ reaches down. I reach up and we grab a hold of each other. I've laid hold of that for the one who has laid hold of me, right? Being apprehended by Christ. And by the way, being apprehended by Christ does not put the human will out of action, but rather it raises it to its highest power. All right? It's kind of like the bonds of marriage. You know, one spouse can love and be doing everything, right? But it takes the other spouse to agree, to lay hold. And that one spouse's love, it doesn't just release you and take your will out of action, but rather it rises your will in that marriage to its highest power. It's the same with a relationship with Jesus. So, now as the power of Christ's will grows, the efforts of the Christian's will grows accordingly, doesn't it? Just think for a moment with me what Christ had to press through to lay hold of you. Oh my goodness. Did he not create the whole universe? We read in Galatians, other places in Scripture. It's all by him and for him, isn't it? So we understand from reading the Bible that he had to leave his home in glory. That place that we long for in our hearts, he left already before he came here and went back, didn't he? So he had to press through whatever it took to leave home. And the pressing included conception of the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth, living a sinless life because he was tested and tried in like manner as all of us, yet without sin. Isn't that what it says in the Word? So that's a lot of pressing. And then the pressing to lay hold of us required him to lay down his life. That's some serious pressing, isn't it? Nailed to the cross. Had to press through crucifixion. And he laid down on his life, and on the third day, he took it up again. He had to press through death, hell, and the grave to get to you, to lay hold of you. But he did. He pressed. He's laid a hold of you. Amen? Oh, it is amazing what Christ had to press through to lay a hold of us. Here's another question for you. What are you willing to press through to lay hold of Jesus? Are you willing to press through those temptations? Are you willing to press through the weakness? Are you willing to press through what everybody else thinks? Are you willing to press through what you may think? And especially if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Are you willing to press through the discomfort of what it takes to get to the will of God in your life? What are you willing to press through to lay hold of the Christ that's pressed through heaven, hell, and earth to lay hold of you? Now, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, it says here, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Come on, everybody, put your index finger up to represent one thing. Help me here. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and now I got to find my place. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and here it is again, and straining. That's a synonym to press, isn't it? So we see it again. And straining toward what is ahead. You know, there's two ends to this one thing. I've got to let go and grab a hold at the same time. I've got to let go of the past. I've got to let go of the fears. I've got to let go of the things that's tethered me in my faith and kept me from advancing. I got to let go of the chains. I got to let go of the temptation. I got to let go of the bondage. Got to let go. I got to forget what is in the past and lay hold and strain forward. So what is forward? It's the upward call of God. It's our goal. It's Christ. It's eternal life with Him. I got to do what Paul got. I got to let go. Even the good things. See, it's the good that'll keep you from the great, probably more than the bad does. I got to forget about the credentials. I got to forget about the pedigrees. I got to forget about the advancement. See, we think about the sin. Forgetting the past, we have a tendency to just think, well, just, you know, the sin, the bad stuff. Yeah, that, but also some of the good stuff. Because it's going to keep you from the great stuff. Amen? So let's let go of that and strain towards. So press and strain, we see over and over again. See, Paul recognizes something here. You have to let go of what drags you down to grab a hold of what draws you up. In other words, with the drag down stuff, stop it. Okay? That's what red means. Stop. And with the draw you up stuff, the goal, the prize, what God has for you, start that. Let go of what drags you down. Grab a hold of what draws you up heavenward, the gift of God. Hear me today, beloved. This is worth what we're talking about, putting all of your strength into, all of your will into, and pressing on with intense concentration. Why? So you don't fall short of the goal that Christ has set for your life. What is the goal that He has set? We've already talked about oneness with Him. That's the goal. Well, what does that mean? Well, salvation, right? Oneness with Him. What? Resurrection from the dead. And then final salvation with Him in heaven. You know, this was the motive of Paul's life. This was it. He says, I've let all this other stuff go for this one thing. It was the motive of Paul's life. Remember, Paul had received a glimpse of glory, didn't he? See, it's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. And once he saw that, he's like, forget it, man. All this stuff here on earth, no thanks. It's trash. Let's throw it away. So now the motive of Paul's life, he'd received a glimpse of glory. And he had resolved that, hey, his whole life, by God's grace, would be centered around his determination to press on. Press on, because someday, if you don't stop pressing, and you every day heed to the upward call, you get to see Jesus face to face. That's what his life was all about. I want to see, we used to sing it. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to be forever. How's it go? There to see, help me, somebody. All right, you know the song. Those of you that know it, you know it. Of course, you don't know what you don't know. Anyhow, the point is I get to go there, get to be in heaven, and get to see Him face to face. Man, I should have. See, that's not in my notes, and now I forgot the song, right? So you got free information, but it was a mess, wasn't it? All right, but we get to see Him, and that's what Paul's goal was. Get to heaven. See Jesus face to face. Oh. Is there a greater calling on your life than that? Can you possibly on this earth come up with a greater goal than seeing Jesus face to face? Doesn't exist, does it? See, Paul had this, and I would suggest to you and to me today this kind of determination. It's necessary for all of us. Now listen, you know as well as I do, throughout our entire lives, all kinds of distractions and temptations grab for our attention. Over here, this temptation going after a weakness or a struggle that you may have, come over here, right? Isn't that how temptation works? So over here, you got a temptation grabbing for your attention. Over here, you got life's worries, man. How are we going to pay these bills? God, you don't seem to be coming through, or the child just can't seem to be healed, or I got this sickness in my body, and all of life's worries. I don't know if I'm going to get that job. I don't know about this, and I don't know about that, and that tries to grab for your attention. What about this one? Especially if you're young today, the riches of the world. Oh, got to have this. This, I want this. I want, ooh, that's nice. I need a couple of those, right? The riches of the world. How about this? We all struggle with a fallen flesh, evil desires. Desires that creep up and creep out, but we know that's not God's desire and goal for us. And all of these things, what do? They threaten to choke off our commitment to the Lord, don't they? This is why forgetting what is behind is so important. To forget the stuff that'll tether you. To forget the stuff that will choke God's goal and what's important in your life. Forget the sins of the past. Forget this corrupt world that we live in. And strain for salvation in Christ. Strain for a oneness with Jesus Christ. That's what we are called to. It's not just a desire. It's a calling. See, that takes us back again to our key verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, it says in that verse. This is not just something you conjure up on your own. No, it's a calling from the heart of God. And in the calling from the heart of God, we have the heart of God revealed to us. He craves oneness with you. That's why He has provided a greater goal for your life than you and I could ever provide for on our own. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's a holy calling. It's a heavenly calling that God has placed on every one of us in this place. But consider with me, we've seen press in verse 12. We've seen straining in verse 13. And now in verse 14, there's that word press again. I press toward the goal. I think Paul presses the word press because he knows the human tendency to relax and drift. Well, we get to a good place in God. I'm all set now. So let's just relax. Let's push the cruise control button. Right? Let's get a self-driving car. Right? So let's push cruise control, let's just relax, let's recline back, and let's just drift. How many here have ever noticed you never drift closer to Jesus? We live in a fallen and broken world, and anytime you relax and start drifting, you're going to drift toward the fallenness and the brokenness that's here on this. We're not in heaven yet. You can drift when you get to heaven. You catch my drift? All right, that wasn't in my notes either, but that one worked out better than the last one, right? Yes, you'll never just drift closer to Jesus here. And Paul picks up on this weakness of the flesh and says, listen, pressing is intentional. Pressing is strategic. I got to press. How do I do that? I get into God's Word. I get God's Word into me. How do I press? I make sure that if I'm able, I'm in God's house. How do I press? I surround myself with people that love the Lord. I press. I press. How do I press? I turn the television off and I pray. Okay, there is no pixie dust for pressing. Discipline. Self-control. Let's get on it. And Paul says, I press. And he presses the word press because he knows our tendency to relax and drift. And he also knows the enemy and all of the opposition, both from within, without. They're going to do everything they can to stop you from reaching the goal that God has given you, of winning the prize. So Paul emphasizes, come on, we did it during worship earlier. Keep running. Keep running. Don't you just want to get and run with me? Let's all get in line. We just run around the church. All right? Run fast enough to even keep running. That's why he emphasizes keep going. That's why he emphasizes keep pressing. It's so important. But see, oftentimes what happens is we get trapped. We get caught in the tension and the constant alternation back and forth between the already and the not yet in our lives. You see, I have already received Christ. But I've not yet received all that he has for me. Oh, I've already started the race, but I've not yet crossed the finish line. I've already forgot the past, but I've not yet reached what lies ahead. I got ahead of myself again. I've already forgot the past, but I've not yet reached what lies ahead. I've already come a long way. We even like to say, we come a long way, baby, right? I've already come a long way, but I've not yet crossed the goal. I've already won some victories in life, but I've not yet won the ultimate victory because I'm still earthbound, right? I've already been saved from hell, but I've not yet arrived in heaven. Listen, Jesus has pressed to give you your already. Now you must press on to gain your not yet. And as long as we are still on this earth, no matter how many alreadys we have, we are still in the realm of the not yet. Keep pressing. Press on. Press on. Press on. The heavenward call of God is toward the great prize, the great win of heaven. And it's not until we cross over into the great glory of God that our not yet becomes our last already. Amen? So what about this life? Are you really in it to win it? Jesus entered it to win it for you. He came down and stepped into humanity and says, I'm in it to win it. There's no denying that. How could you question that with leaving heaven, coming to earth, laying down his life and rising from the dead on the third day? But you, what about you today? Can you match Jesus' level of in it to win it? What about all of eternity? Are you truly in it to win it? You see, today, beloved, if you want to win, you have to reach and cross the goal of knowing Christ. You see, here's where we fall short. We often want what Jesus can do for us. Lord, will you heal my marriage? Will you provide the job? Oh, God, I need a miracle. Oh, God, I need healing. Oh, God, I need deliverance. Oh, God, I need strength. Oh, God, I need power. Oh, God, I need help. And all we do oftentimes is just seek God for what he can do for us. That's not the goal, beloved. Paul says to know Christ. And then once you reach the goal of knowing Christ, that intimate oneness with Jesus, all of that other stuff becomes a natural product. Salvation comes. Healing comes. Deliverance comes. power comes, strength comes, hallelujah, knowledge comes, wisdom comes, guidance comes, the Spirit comes. Don't seek God for what you can get from Him, seek Him. That's the goal. And if you're truly in it to win it, you're going to make the same determination that Paul did and say, this is what I'm going to center my life around. Hear me today. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is returning soon, and I want you to. So I can't imagine how much God wants you to gain the ultimate win and make it to heaven. Are you ready? Have you gained the ultimate win and know that you're going to spend eternity? Listen, you have an upward and heavenly calling today. But you have an upward and heavenly calling in every area of your life. God wants you to win in every area. In your thoughts. In your mind. In your heart. In your family, God wants you to win. In your employment, God wants you to win. You know, in reading through the Bible in Genesis again. Isn't it interesting? And just reading about Jacob the other day and with the sheep and the spotted and the speckled. You know what? He was doing the same thing every other sheep farmer was doing. But God's favor was with him. God's blessing. Why? He was a covenant child of God. And when you are a covenant child of God, this person, there could be a person right here doing the same exact thing as you are standing right beside him, but you're going to get his blessings and his favor because you've made a determination that your goal is to know Christ. So that's where the favor goes. That's where the blessing goes. That's where God gets involved in your work, in your family, in your home, in your physical needs, in your spiritual life, in your emotional life. You have an upward and heavenly calling in every area of your life to win, but are you in it to win it? How about this? Stand with me today. I want this to be a year where my life, my family, our church family, we're in it to win it. And to say, God, I need you like never before. You know, I wasn't kidding you earlier when I said I understand that statement. I need the Holy Spirit to go to 7-Eleven. Oh, man, if I could have known that and really believed it in my 20s and 30s. And even some of my 40s. Amen? But it's true. It's true. I've spent more time on my knees in the last year than maybe, I don't know, the last 4 or 5 years put together because I'm finally understanding, Jesus, you're the goal. And I want to be in it to win it in life. And I want you to know today, God is a winner and God wants you to win. Now, we already had a time of prayer, but if there's something in your life that you need victory in, you're welcome to come to this altar, but I'd like to see the whole sanctuary turned into just a prayer room. If you want special prayer or just come to spend special time with the Lord and kneel and pray, right now you can step out of your seat. But I'm going to pray a prayer of winning over your life before we leave here. Winning in your heart. Winning in your mind. Winning in this world. Winning in your family because God wants you to win. It's His calling on your life. It's His calling on your life. Come on, let's go to prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank You for every man, woman, and young person in this place today. And I pray Your blessings and favor, and I pray the work of the Holy Spirit over them in the name of Jesus to pursue You, Lord Jesus, like never before, so they can gain the winning of the upward call of God. They can gain the prize of God. And by crossing the goal line that You have established. And Lord, even while on this earth, that they would go from glory to glory until we gain the ultimate win in heaven on that great day when You call us home to receive the ultimate win. The ultimate win. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, why don't we make this our benediction today? Just simply saying, I'm in it to win it. Come on, together. I'm in it to win it. All right, I'm going to check out this side, see if they're awake. Come on, together, let's say it. I'm in it to win it. Let's give a good one to go out of here this day. One more. Come on, together. I'm in it to win it. All right, God bless you today. Go after Jesus like never before. Amen and amen.